yesterday, I'm going to sidetrack a little bit off of what I was originally going to talk about, and I'll get to that in a minute. But yesterday, July 4th, in the year of our Lord, 1776, our forefathers, a group of seemingly well-intentioned men, endeavored to bring about the freedom of our country, and in doing so were cursed by the tyrant king. They did so in this Declaration of Independence, committed to their cause. Upon said document, they affixed their monikers, thus sealing their fate as well as our country's fate. They ended the document with a call of support from the Lord. I emphasize cursed in referring to this past Sunday, July 3rd, when Ronnie was reading from Galatians chapter 3, 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. 15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. This brought me back to a study I had with the question of, why was Jesus not stoned? That reasoning is found in Deuteronomy 21:22. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, 23 now, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. I thought I would quickly revisit this measure of curse from an earthly conflict between men to the greater event involving Christ Jesus, the manner of his execution. One event was for our freedom, and the other event was also for our freedom, but most important, our salvation. Now, moving on to today's subject. Question is, who do we serve and by whom are we purposed? Jeremiah 27:6. And now I have given all these lands. See if I can get my pages to separate here. And now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him. Ezekiel 29:18. Son of man, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, caused his army to serve a great service against Tyrus. Every head was made bald, and every shoulder was peeled. Yet had he no wages, nor his army for Tyrus, for the service that he had served against it. 19. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will give the land of Egypt unto Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And he shall take her multitude, take her spoil, and take her prey, and it shall be the wages for his army. 20. I have given him the land of Egypt for his labor wherewith he served against it, because they wrought for me, saith the Lord God. And moving along to Isaiah 45:1. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. 2. I will go before thee, and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass, and cut asunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness, and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, am the God of Israel. 4. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. 5. I am the Lord, and there is no one else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, thou hast not known me. 6. That they may know from the rising of the sun, from the west, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. He was appointed by God as a means of punishment of the kingdom of Judah. Thus, Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the kingdom of Judah and ushered them into captivity in Babylon. We are all subject to the will of God and may not understand the reason or measure of our engagement in certain events. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? I found this story to be very intriguing. Nebuchadnezzar, given the idea of how much power he was afforded by the Lord, in spite of him having not known the Lord. In reading through Daniel, I glazed over the 25th verse in chapter 3, only later to be drawn back to said verse because of three words, Son of God. This is a different point, but I want to point this out as being very important to watch closely. In Daniel 1:6-7, we learn of four young men who were brought to stand in the king's palace due to their wisdom and knowledge. We learn of the four being given new names. Three of them are to be known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's hard for me to pronounce now. Abednego. There we go. As it came to pass, these three are tested by Nebuchadnezzar by way of challenging their faith. In Daniel 3:1, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. 2. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. 4. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at this time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. We move along to 8. Wherefore, at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. Moving to 10. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. 11. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. In 13, then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? In 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. 17. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. 18. But not if it be known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake, and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont for to be heated. 20. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. 21. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. 22. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. 25. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. From this point, Nebuchadnezzar begins to recognize the power of the Most High God. Verse 28, Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. 29. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. 30. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar recognized the fourth man in the furnace as being like the Son of God. How would he know about the Son of God? Take care with what source you might be reading from. An online King James Version had son capitalized, and son is not the definite article. Nebuchadnezzar would not have had knowledge of the New Testament. That being said, how would he have recognized the fourth man to be an angel sent by God? I am still incomplete on this particular subject of the Son of God, and will continue to investigate and ponder this line of Scripture. But moving on, Nebuchadnezzar became full of himself later on, and with great hubris in Daniel chapter 4, he proclaimed his self-worth in spite of Daniel's interpretation of the dreams that Nebuchadnezzar was experiencing. In Daniel 4:24, this is the interpretation, O King, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the King. 25. That they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth to whomsoever he will. Daniel 4:30. The king spake and said, Is it not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and the honor of my majesty? 31. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. 32. And they shall drive thee from them, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. 33. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. Thirty-four. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. 35. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, or say him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me. And I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Now, Nebuchadnezzar came to believe in God after his dreams, after the episode of the four men in the furnace, and after his induced madness. He was a servant of God, seeming to us an unlikely member of a faithful group of servants of God. Let's look at those servants of God. In Titus 1:1-2, I, Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. We go to Job 42:8. Therefore, take to you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. James 1:1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Isaiah 44:21. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee, thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. Nehemiah 10:29. They clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath, to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all commandments of the Lord our Lord, and his judgments and his statutes. In Ezekiel 34:24, it states, And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Daniel 6:20. And when he came into the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Nebuchadnezzar was purposed by God to be the instrument of punishment upon Judah. Eventually, Nebuchadnezzar came to know the power of God and the necessity for humility in the presence of God's great command. By the time of the event indicated in Daniel 6:20, Belshazzar, son of Nebuchadnezzar, became king and being the apple that does not fall far from the tree, did not humble himself. Rather, he elevated himself against the Lord of heaven, as in Daniel 5:23, and in his failure to glorify the Lord in spite of the knowledge regarding his father's experiences, met his demise and was dispatched of his life. In Daniel 5:31, Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. In Daniel chapter 6, we find the jealous gang mentality at play. Darius the king set over his kingdom 120 princes and over them 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, being preferred above the princes and other presidents. This did not set well with them, though. Daniel 6:4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find no occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. 5. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So, the principles of governance assembled, took audience with the king, and persuaded him to establish a royal statute that would forbid anyone from praying or petitioning any god or man for 30 days, save the king. And if anyone breaks the law, they shall be cast into a den of lions. Once the law was signed by the king, the presidents and princes set out to monitor Daniel's activities in order to witness him failing adherence to the letter of the law. We move on to Daniel 6:10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. In 11, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. So as this plot plays out, these men took audience with the king again and spoke to him concerning his new law. They asked of the king, "Didn't you make a law that if anyone asks a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save the king, that they shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered in affirmative, and thus the ploy of the gang and their mentality was measured successful to them as they conveyed to the king Daniel's actions of praying to his God 3 times a day. The king realized that he was trapped with the decree he made that could not be changed, and was put the gang to fulfill his kingly duties, and this troubled the king for a way in which to deliver Daniel from this ending. We next move on to Daniel 6:15. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes, hope that's the proper pronunciation, and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. 17. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. 18. Then the king went to his palace, and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. 19. Then the king arose very early in the morning, and went in haste unto the den of lions. 20. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they may not hurt me. For as much as before him innocence was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. 23. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. At that time, the king then commanded that the gang, their wives, and their children be gathered and cast into the den of lions. The lions were fat, dumb, and happy that evening. Quite a punishment for those actions. So now we go to Daniel 6:25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. 26. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. 27. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? 28. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. We ourselves, we don't know when we may be called to a particular purpose, and however unlikely we may see ourselves as being fit for such action, we know not the mind of God, and therefore with faith we should trust in his absolute knowing of what is best for us. We may not recognize the importance of the seeds that are planted through us by God, and there may be no immediacy in our eyes of sprouting from those seeds. Suffice it to say, the purpose will come to bear, and regardless of our involvement, it will be in God's time and not ours. Thank you for listening this evening, and I will end this study with a prayer. We thank you, Lord, for your words of love to us and teaching us to better serve you, our God. We always try and walk in your light and wisdom and endeavor to find favor in it. Our supplication to you, Lord, is that in studying the scripture and rightly dividing the words put forth to us, you grant us the wisdom to apply our knowledge, edifying one another and pleasing to you, Lord. Let us all be servants of God. Amen.